Chapter 9. Present Salvation. God inhabits eternity, so that all time is present with Him. So all His promises and blessings for you are in the present tense. This makes Him a very present help in trouble, for you can only live in the present. You cannot live one moment in the future. You expect things in the future and have hope of things to come, but the present is all that you can ever have. For when the things come that you hope for, they will be present. The things which you have reason to hope for in the future will be the continuation of the things which you have now. All things are in Christ, and His promise is, "Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Matthew chapter 28, verse 20. The Apostle Paul blessed God because He hath blessed us with all spiritual things in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. The promises of God for the future must be present realities to you, if you ever receive any benefit from them. For all the promises of God in Him are yea, and in Him, amen. Unto the glory of God by us. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. It is by these exceeding great and precious promises that you are made partakers of the divine nature. The glories of the world to come will be but the revealing of that which you have now in the personal presence within you of the Lord Jesus Christ. The only hope of glory is Christ in you. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8. The word of God liveth and abideth forever. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. You do not have to deal with a dead word, which was spoken so long ago that there is no more force in it, but with the word which has the same life as though it were just spoken. Indeed, it is of benefit to you only when you receive it as spoken directly and personally to you. When you receive the word of God which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. It is all in the present. For this reason you can never outgrow the scriptures. There is not a single text in the Bible that has become obsolete. There is none that the Christian of the longest experience has outgrown, so that he has no need of it. There is none that can be laid aside. The text which brings you to the Savior is the text which is ever needed to keep you there. And although your mind has expanded and your spiritual sight has been greatly strengthened, the word still has meaning because every word of God is of infinite depth. So, as your mind expands, the word means more to you than it did in the beginning. The universe appears much greater to the astronomer than it does to someone who has never looked through a telescope. You look at the stars with your eyes and they seem very far off. Then you look at them through a powerful telescope, and although you can see so much farther with it, the distance to the stars seems to be very much greater than it did with your limited vision. So, the more you become acquainted with the Word of God, the greater it becomes. The promises of God, which seem so exceedingly great when they first appeared to you, become much more exceedingly great the more you consider them and apply them. The Word of God is a light shining in a dark place. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 17. It is the revelation of Christ, who is the light of the world. Therefore, it is a lamp. Psalm 119:105 and Proverbs chapter 6, verse 23. We have heard of the young sailor who was left in charge of the helm, with instructions to hold the ship's head straight toward a certain star, which was pointed out to him, and who in a few hours called the captain and said that he wanted another star to steer by, as he had sailed past the first one given him. What was the trouble? He had turned the ship round and was sailing away from the star. So it is with those who say that they have outgrown certain portions of the Bible. The trouble is that they have turned their backs on it. What is the gospel? It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. It is present power applied to your salvation when you have present faith. From what does the power of God save you? Jesus is the power of God, and it was said of him, "Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. This is a faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. The gospel is the power of God to save you from sin, but it is present power, for sin is ever present. Its power is applied only while you are believing. The just shall live by faith. Romans chapter 1, verse 17. The moment you cease to believe, then you are a sinner, just the same as if you had never believed. Yesterday's faith will not answer for today, any more than your breathing yesterday will keep you alive today. The message of the Lord to you immediately before his coming is, "Thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked." Revelation chapter 3, verse 17. Have you outgrown this text? No. The blessing comes to you as you acknowledge the truth of the Lord's charge. Then the Lord will come to you to supply all your needs. It is when you say, "Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner," that you go down to your house justified. And it is only as you continue to utter that prayer that you are justified. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Luke chapter 18, verse 14. The apostle says, "This is a faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. Note that he does not say, "of whom I was chief," but "of whom I am chief." And it was when he acknowledged himself to be the chief of sinners that the mercy and long-suffering of God was exhibited in him as the chief. Some wonder whether a Christian ought to sing these lines in Wesley's blessed hymn, "Just and holy is thy name. I am only unrighteous, vile and full of sin I am. Thou art full of truth and grace." If you think that you have outgrown those lines, you are in a pitiable condition, for you are shutting yourself off from the source of righteousness. There is none good but one, that is God. Matthew 19:17. Therefore, whatever righteousness is ever exhibited in you must only be the righteousness of God. It is only when you acknowledge your own sinfulness that you will lay hold on the righteousness of God that is by the faith of Christ. It is only by the obedience of one that you are made righteous. Romans chapter 5, verse 19. And that one is Christ. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. 1 John chapter 2, verse 2. The Christian of 40 years' experience is just as much in need of the righteousness which comes through Christ, as is the sinner who is now for the first time coming to the Lord. So we read, "If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanseth us from all sin." If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. 1 John chapter 1, verses 7 and 8. The most that you can say is that Christ is without sin, and that Christ has given himself for you. He is of God made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. But note that cleansing is a present process. you may know that the blood of Christ cleansed you from sin at some time in the past. But that will do you no good. His life is continually needed in order that the cleansing may go on continually. You are saved by His life. Romans chapter 5, verse 10. For Christ is your life. Colossians chapter 3, verse 4. So it is that every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God, and every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. 1 John chapter 4, verses 2 and 3. Note again the present tense. It is not enough to confess that Jesus Christ did come in the flesh. That will not bring you salvation. You must confess from positive knowledge that Jesus has just now come in the flesh, and then you are of God. Christ came in the flesh 2,000 years ago just to demonstrate this. He did it once, and He is able to do it again. If you deny the possibility of His coming in your flesh now, then you deny the possibility of His ever having come in the flesh. So your part is to confess with humility of mind that you are a sinner, that you have no good thing in you. If you do not do this, then the truth is not in you. But if you do, then Christ, who came into the world for the express purpose of saving sinners, will come and take up His abode with you, and then the truth will surely be in you. Then perfection will be manifested in the midst of imperfection. You will have completeness in the midst of weakness. For we are complete in Him. Colossians chapter 2, verse 10. He has created all things by the word of His power, and so He can take you, who are but nothing, and can make you to the praise of the glory of His grace. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6. For of Him, and through Him, and to Him are all things, to whom be the glory forever. Amen. Romans chapter 11, verse 36.